I was debating and debating and debating what I should discuss this evening, and this is what we're going to discuss this evening. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's holy land, Sri Mayapur Dham. When I was visiting in Chicago, the devotees had requested, many of us couldn't go to the yatra in Mayapur. Could you speak something so we can go through sound? So I've been trying to do that a little bit here during my visit, but we're going to just visit two of the nine islands of Navadvip, and certainly very briefly, when we spent 9 days in Mayapur, what I'm going to do in about 45 minutes took a day and a half. So this isn't going to do justice to the whole visit, but maybe it will be an impetus for some of you to listen to the day and a half's worth of recordings and on the places that we're going to visit, visually and also through sound. That light can go out, it'll be good. Yeah, very good. So, Navadvip, and even more specifically, Sridham Mayapur, is the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, much as Vrindavan is the birthplace of Krishna, or Ayodhya is the land of Ram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance place was in Navadvip. Navadvip, nine islands. And in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, most of which is taken from Ananta Samhita, very wonderful literature, it describes the glories of Navadvip Dham. And one of the understandings that we have about Navadvip is related to who is Lord Chaitanya. Those in different parts of India, as well as different parts of the world, don't know so much about Lord Nityananda, but he's mentioned explicitly in a number of places, including even Vishnu Sahasranam. When Bhishma Deva is reciting the thousand names of Vishnu, one of those names is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Yuga avatar for our present age of Kali. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just a sannyasi or just a saint amongst many sannyasis, but he's none different than the personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. And therefore his holy dham, Navadvip, is also none different than the dham of Krishna, Vrindavan dham. So we're going to spend a little time this evening discussing some of the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, some of those pastimes, some of the islands in Navadvip. These are the deity, the Panchatattva deities that are about 8.5-9 feet tall deities, very large deities in Navadvip. And this is dedicated to Srila Prabhupada, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. A person of such caliber, this is a verse down here spoken by Yudhisthira to Vidura, when Vidura came to visit. Somehow it's not showing, but at the bottom, my Lord, Yudhisthira says to Vidura, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified, because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. So the holy association of Srila Prabhupada was itself worthy of pilgrimage, and Srila Prabhupada established Sridham Mayapur as his world headquarters because it was the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a very rare photo. This is the original Radha Madhava deities that were worshipped by Srila Prabhupada personally when Sridham Mayapur was first established. Those of you that may have been to the Boston temple might recognize these deities were made from the same mold as Radha Gopi Ballava in Boston, and a similar identical pair of deities in the Berkeley temple. And Sridham Mayapur was at the glories of Sridham Mayapur, and the places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes are primarily coming from Bhaktivinod Thakur, whose picture is on the left. He, in the late 1800s, was in the service of the British government as a chief magistrate in their governance system, and he was transferred to Krishnanagar, very close to Navadvip, and from that place he did his work for the British government, but also established places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And he passed that responsibility on to his son, pictured in the middle, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who then in turn became the spiritual master of our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, pictured on our right. And through this method of disciplic succession, what we see when we go to Mayapur today is to their credit. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared around 515 or 16 years ago, something in that time frame, he appeared with his associates. And his associates include innumerable devotees, but principal associates are these five, Panchatattva, in the middle Lord Chaitanya, to his right Lord Nityananda and Advaita, and to his left Gadadhar and Srivas. This is called the Panchatattva, the Supreme Lord who manifested himself in five tattvas. These tattvas are the Lord himself, his first expansion, the Lord of material creation, Mahavishnu, and Gadadhar is the internal potency of the Lord, and Srivas is the Lord's devotee, as is Narada Muni, the devotee of the Lord. So together these five personalities represent the five truths or tattvas manifested in one in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here's a map. There's an easier to look at one right here, but here's the map of the nine islands were determined by the tributaries of the Ganga. So as various branches of the Ganga would move through this area, it made literally nine islands, and those nine islands are of the names as you see on the left-hand column: Antar Dweep, Simmanta Dweep, Godrum Dweep, Madhya Dweep, Kola Dweep, etc. So we visited all of those nine islands in the course of 9 days. We went other places too: Ekachakra, the birthplace of Lord Nityananda, and many, many other nice places. On the right-hand column, you'll see the nine processes of bhakti. Each of the nine islands of Navadvip primarily represent or manifest one of the nine processes of bhakti. The nine processes of bhakti are identified by Prahlad Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 7th canto. So we're going to visit the first two islands this evening, very briefly. And next time I come to Mayapur, come and we'll go there extensively. So we'll go to Antardweep and Simantadweep. So Antardweep is shown here. This is where you see the lotus and the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. That's where he appeared. And following along the path of the Ganga, we'll go to Simantadweep also. And when we were there, that was our first day to go to those two islands. The whole circuit of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes is part of a very wonderful historical event where, in this picture, you see on our left is Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami was a young boy who was the son of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami's brother. There were three brothers. The third brother was Anupam, and Anupam died when Jiva Goswami was just a young boy. So when he became of age that he could travel, he was very eager to visit the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And fortunately for him, as you see in the picture to our right, Lord Nityananda just happened to be in Navadweep, and Lord Nityananda took Jiva Goswami to each of the places and described them elaborately, which made up a very large portion of what we discussed when we were visiting those nine islands. Pictured in the background is a verse from Ananta Samhita that Bhaktivinoda Thakur found after some time, that in Bhaktivinoda Thakur read that according to Ananta Samhita, when Lord Chaitanya would complete his pastimes, I mentioned that he's mentioned in different scriptures, so one of those is Ananta Samhita. After Lord Chaitanya's pastimes were completed in Navadweep, some number of years later, about 50 years later, it was predicted what happened was the Ganges shifted course, and where Lord Chaitanya's birthplace was underneath the Ganges. And that went on for 200 years. So there's a lot of Ganges mud caked on top of that place where Lord Chaitanya's pastimes were. And then, as predicted in Ananta Samhita, the Ganges would again shift back to its prior course. So for some 200 years, the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes were literally underwater, covered. And Lord Nityananda's descriptions are what Bhaktivinoda Thakur principally used, along with other scriptures, Bhakti Ratnakara and others, to identify where Lord Chaitanya's pastimes transpired. These two lords, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda together, would travel throughout these nine islands on a regular basis, performing Sankirtan, chanting the holy names of the Lord, dancing in joyful, jubilant spirit, and enlivening the hearts of all the residents throughout Navadweep. Here's one verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the process of chanting of the holy name congregationally, just as you were doing a few minutes ago, is described. Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hisumedasaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons, Sumedasaha, perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. This is describing Lord Chaitanya. Although his complexion is not blackish, he's Krishna Varnam. He's Krishna himself. Although his complexion is not blackish like Krishna, he is accompanied by his associates, by his servants, with his weapons, and confidential companions. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his Sankirtan with his associates and his companions and his confidential associates, beginning here in Navadvip Dham, eventually spreading through various parts of India, and as he predicted, the chanting of the holy names would one day be heard in every town and every village throughout the world. And in so doing, he was distributing Krishna Prema. So this verse that we recite, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gora Tushe Namaha. Those of you who are in the practice of offering your food to Krishna, this is one of our prayers to Lord Chaitanya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatar, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given, pure love for Krishna. Krishna prema pradayate. This is the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he's called Mahavadanyaya, the most munificent or magnanimous of all the avatars of the Lord. He not only distributed this taste for the holy name, but he personally experienced in great ecstasies of love of God. So many descriptions of his kirtan where tears were constantly flowing from his eyes. Roman chakam pasru taranga bhajo, we sing in our Mangal Arti song. Romancha kamphasru, his hairs were standing on end. Romancha kamphasru taranga bhajo, and his eyes were like syringes, were shooting water, not the tears dribbling down the cheeks, but the other kind. Pew. Gushes of water were coming from his eyes. I'll tell a little Prabhupada story. At our temple in New York, it was 1971, Srila Prabhupada was visiting during the summer. And I'll say it quickly, it's a nice longer story, but we made an arrangement that all the devotees would go to greet Prabhupada at the airport. And then we made the arrangement that the driver of Prabhupada's car would get lost so we could get back to the temple and receive Prabhupada at the temple also. We greet him at the airport and then we got lost. And he reached the temple without getting lost. And when he reached the temple, he came right into the temple where Radha Govinda were being worshipped. It was the Rajbhog offering, the midday offering. And the Pujari, maybe some of you know Mother Rukmini in Potomac Temple, she was the head Pujari. So she stayed back while everybody went to greet Prabhupada, but she was the only one there to see Prabhupada when he came to the temple. And she was in the midst of doing arti. Two things happened. One was she didn't know what she should do. Should I continue during arti? Or in the presence of my spiritual master, should I get off the altar and pay my obeisances? Because I'm serving Radha Govinda, but here's my spiritual master. And so, not knowing what to do, she decided just what her heart said, and that's pay my obeisances to my spiritual master. So she got off the altar, stopped performing the arti, paid her obeisances to Prabhupada, got back on the altar. Later he told me, she asked, did I do the right thing? And he said yes. So while she was doing the arti, some water splashed on her feet. And she turned and looked from her corner of her eye, and water was shooting from Prabhupada's eyes onto the altar towards Radha Govinda. Not these, but those. Like Roman Chakam Vasru Taranga Bhajo Vande Garosi Charanaravindam. So Mahaprabhu exhibited transcendental ecstasies of love of God. Here he's pictured in Gambira, where he lived for 18 years as a sannyasi, tasting the mellows of love of God. And Antardweep was his place of birth. There's a verse that was composed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where in his Shakshastakam prayers, 8 stanzas only are attributed directly to Mahaprabhu's hand. And this one of the stanzas is representing this Atmanivedana, or full self-surrender, where the translation reads, "Let Krishna tightly embrace this maidservant who has fallen at his feet. Let him trample me or break my heart by never being visible to me. He is a debauchee after all and can do whatever he likes, but still is none other than the worshipful Lord of my heart." So full self-surrender. "Krishna, you can do with me as you wish," is the symptom of this Atmanivedana, or full self-surrender, which is the principle of bhakti represented in Antardweep. So there's Antardweep with the red mark in the middle. My laser pointer isn't working. I need another battery. Here's the... not now. This is the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. When you visit Sridhar Mayapur, it's within a mile's walk, or so, maybe a little more, of our ISKCON temple. So for sure you'll visit this wonderful place. It's called the Yogpith, the central place where the Personality of Godhead appeared. And the structure that you see was built by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and I'll describe a little bit as we go along, kind of piecemeal the history. This is the deities on the altar. On the left side, up our upper left, is the left altar of Radha Madhava and Mahaprabhu. And the central altar is down below. It's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and on his left is Vishnupriya, who was his second wife, because his first wife, Lakshmi Priya, died one time when Mahaprabhu was away from home for a long time. He had gone as a teacher on tour, teaching, and feeling such separation from her husband, according to the biographers, she died of the poisonous serpent of separation. And after she died, Lord Chaitanya's mother was in such a grief-stricken state, she requested her son to please accept a second wife in the absence of Lakshmi Priya, so he married Vishnu Priya. And so she's to his left, or to our right, on the central altar, and then the Panchatattva pictured up above. This is the neem tree under which Nimai was born. Nimai Pandit. This name Nimai was given by both Mother Sachi and Advaita Acharya's wife Sita Devi, because the first 8, those of you who are parents can listen to this carefully, the first 8 children of Mother Sachi died just after their birth. And the one surviving son was Vishwarup, Mahaprabhu's elder brother. And then when Nimai was born, this house that's pictured here is where Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi lived. And so he was born under this very same neem tree. Well, not the very same neem tree, because it was underwater for some time, but at least in this place. And pilgrims go and offer their respects to that tree, which was the shelter under which Lord Chaitanya was born. The neem tree is understood, it has medicinal properties, and it also brings good fortune, so that Nimai would live a long life was, therefore he was given the name Nimai, born under the neem tree. This is the deities of, or murtis of, the father, Jagannath Mishra, and the mother, Sachimata, and their newborn child, Nimai. This is the same place, just different dress on a different day. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we'll be observing, well, every year we observe the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the full moon night, the Purnima, of the month of Falgun, which comes generally in February, March. So, on this particular full moon night, it was very unique in many ways. There was a solar eclipse. And when there's a solar eclipse, something very amazing happens. I was in Mayapur in 1975 when there was a full solar eclipse on the Falgun night of Gaur Purnima. What happens is, according to the scriptures, it's very auspicious during that full moon eclipse to take bath in the Ganga and chant loudly the holy names of the Lord. So as you see in the picture, it was a mob scene. Vaishnavas by the gazillions came from all directions. When I was there, I've never seen so many people. It wasn't like even a football game or a rush hour in Manhattan and just going to the subways. I never saw so many people. Millions, gazillions of people, all trying to get into the Ganga at the same time. I thought people might get drowned or something, because it was, you know, they weren't observing such etiquette. They wanted to get in the water and be in the water and chant the holy name during the eclipse. There's only a certain period of time, and everyone wanted to get in at the same time. There's only so much bank of the Ganges. Anyway, he appeared at that time when all over Navadvip everyone was loudly chanting the holy name, and that's when he appeared. And a little bit of his childhood pastimes. There's whole books to describe these things, but many presentations were brought of jewels and cloth and all kinds of nice ornaments and just offerings to offer to the newborn child. Of course, this was an act of devotional service, because it wasn't just a newborn child, it was the personality of Godhead. And much like the affection of Nanda and Jasoda for Krishna, the same parental affection of Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra went to their little darling Nimai Pandit. He had this practice as even a small boy that he would induce people to chant, because he would cry, and whatever they would do to get him to stop crying wouldn't work except one thing. They would chant Hare Krishna, he would smile. So they would chant and chant and clap their hands and sing and sing, and then when they stopped singing, he would start to cry. So then they would clap and sing again. And this way, even as a tiny infant, he was inducing others to chant the holy name of the Lord. Naturally, as a young boy, he did the same. They would get together, he would raise his arms, and they would all chant and dance, and the residents of Navadvip were so happy to see this apparent child play. But it was actually the Supreme Lord inducing his friends to chant the holy name. He had an elder brother, Vishwarup, and Vishwarup had a very fond attraction for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Advaita Acharya. When you visit Mayapur, one of the residences of Advaita Acharya is like a few hundred yards from where Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi lived. So he would rise early in the morning, take his bath in the Ganga, do his puja, worship the Shalagram Shila, and make a straight line for Advaitacharya's home to attend the Bhagavatam class. And it was very special Bhagavatam class in many ways. One of them was it didn't end. It just went on and on and on and on. And this is a leela described in Chaitanya Bhagavat where Mother Sachi would send little Nimai to go to Advaitacharya's home, and he would tug on the dhoti of Vishwarupa and say, Sachi Mata wants you to come for lunch. Vishwarupa, Sachi Mata wants you to come home for lunch. Please come. And everyone was so charmed by the beauty, just to see the beauty of Nimai Pandit, they all became silent like birds in a tree, staring at the setting of the sun. So they, after some time, Vishwarup became of age to marry, and Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi were a little concerned that if he continues going to Advaitacharya Srimad Bhagavatam class, who knows, maybe he won't even want to get married. So we better hurry up and marry him. And when Vishwarup heard all this marriage talk, he left home and took sannyas. And after he took sannyas, then Jagannath Mishra said, he told Nimai, don't go to school. Just stay home and play. Whatever you want to do, but no studies. So Nimai was a Brahmin, and what is a little boy going to do if he just plays all day long? He got into mischief. Oh, did he get into mischief? Mm-hmm. Volumes and volumes of mischief. This is one of them. He went to the place where the clay pots used for cooking were discarded. You know, we put things in our washing dishwasher or scrub our pots, but the system at the time was they didn't have metal pots, they cooked in clay pots, and when it was finished, they threw them away, and it was, you know, biodegradable. It just went back into the earth. So one day she saw her son seated on the pile of discarded pots, and so she questioned him and said, Nimai, that's dirty. All of that is decomposing pots. Why are you sitting there? And he gave her a response of impersonalism. What is the difference between these pots and the earth? If I sat on the earth, would you be unhappy with me? And now I'm sitting on the pots. Why are you unhappy with me? Please tell me. Isn't it true that everything is one? And Mother Sachi said to her son, my dear Nimai, where have you heard this philosophy? When earth is in the form of a pot, it can hold water. And because it is in that form that can hold water, it has the utility of holding water or a cooking vessel. But you can't hold water in earth. You can't just pour water on the earth. So yes, it's a transformation of earth, but it's for a specific purpose. Now please come home and I'll provide you nice sandesh and sweetmeats. So Nimai's reply was, very well, if you promise me one thing. She said, whatever you would like, I will do. So he said, on a Kadasi day, according to the scriptures, it's a sin to eat grain. So in our home, from this day forward, can we not eat grain on a Kadasi day? Then I'll come home with you and take sandesh. So his mother was very pleased. Said, all right, from this day forward, no grain on Ekadasi day. Come home, Nimai. And there was so much mischief going on all the time that finally Mother Sachi relented and she sent Nimai to the school of Gangadas Pandit. Nimai was, as one might imagine, super scholar. He didn't just like become valedictorian of his class or get on the honor roll. He learned everything that Gangadas Pandit knew within a short period of time. There was nothing more to teach him. So Gangadas made him a teacher of his own group of students. And since Nimai was such a an amazing teacher. All the parents wanted to send their kids to be in Nimai's school. So he was a very, very popular scholar, and one day visiting in Navadvip was Keshava Kashmiri, a Brahmin from Kashmir. And Keshava was a big debater, super scholar, and really puffed up. He had traveled all over India, challenging in all the holy places the most learned pundits to debate, and defeated them. So he was on a roll. He was really doing great until he came to Navadvip. And when he reached Navadvip, I'm shortening this because of the circumstance this evening, but Digvijay Pandit heard of the reputation of this most amazing scholar that was just a boy named Nimai. So one day as he was walking along the Ganga, he saw under this tree large crowd of students all sitting around one small boy. So he, being the smart man, he figured out that must be Nimai Pandit. So he came over, and immediately Nimai treated him with such great respect. But in the course of 2 days, I'm not going to narrate the whole Leela because of time. You can listen to the recordings or read it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He defeated the Keshava Kashmiri. Keshava Kashmiri was a worshipper of Goddess Saraswati. He was an ardent worshipper of Goddess Saraswati, who in a dream had given Keshava Kashmiri, the Digvijay Pandit, a benediction that he would not be defeated by anyone in debate. That was his secret. He was blessed by Mother Saraswati. So when he was debating with Nimai, when Nimai spoke, suddenly Keshava Kashmiri, his mind went blank and he couldn't speak anything. And when he was defeated, all the school children started to laugh at him. And Nimai said, no, don't laugh. He's a great scholar. You shouldn't laugh like that. He's a very, very great personality. We're fortunate that he's come to our company. So that evening, when he was doing his puja for Saraswati, he was offering prayers to her. Please indicate, why is it that you abandoned me in this most critical hour? I've been totally humiliated by a boy. That night, listen carefully, that night Goddess Saraswati again appeared in his dream, as she had when giving the benediction, and she chastised him severely. Said, you are so proud. You're thinking, because I've given you this benediction, you can challenge anyone. The benediction I gave you was that you will never be defeated by anyone, any mortal anyone. But this person you've just met is my master. He is the personality of Godhead from whom I derive my power. And I've given my power to you, but I can't empower you to defeat my master. You've offended the personality of Godhead. Tomorrow, you should go and place your head at his feet and beg forgiveness, and you become his student. Otherwise, you'll be finished for your offense. And when he woke up, he was sweating. What happened? There was just a small boy, but it wasn't just a small boy. Goddess Saraswati was angry with me. I've offended her master. So the next day he came to the same place where Nimai was seated by the side of the Ganga, and just as the Goddess Saraswati had indicated to him, he came directly to Nimai's sitting place, placed his head at his feet, pleaded with him for forgiveness, and asked if he could become his student. Nimai smiled. In course of time, Keshava Kashmiri became a great devotee, Lord Chaitanya said, "You're such an excellent scholar. Why don't you write a book glorifying the personality of Godhead? You have just offered some wonderful prayers to the goddess, to Ganga Devi." That was the incident that happened the previous day. And so Keshava Kashmiri wrote a very, very wonderful book under the instruction of his new teacher, Nimai Pandit, glorifying the personality of Godhead Krishna. Now, this is just a gloss. You know, as I mentioned, this took a whole day to describe all these things, so I'm not going to be able to go into detail. We don't have a whole day. This is the original temple constructed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who, by his spiritual acumen and by his scholarship and by study of the scriptures, came to understand where the birthplace of Mahaprabhu was. So he built this temple himself. Although he was the chief magistrate, he put on simple Vaishnava attire, went door to door, even in the Muslim neighborhood, all around Navadvip, and asked everyone, "Please give 1 rupee. At least 1 rupee. Any gentleman should give 1 rupee for building the temple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And so this very simple temple was built. Later, this temple was built by his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So here's those 3 altars that you saw pictures of before. Again, the 3 sets of deities. And if you look very closely right here in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're going to see a close-up in just a moment of, there's a Vishnu Shila, Adhoksaja Vishnu Shila. This is the Radha Madhava altar. This is the Adhoksaja Vishnu Murti that when they were digging the foundation for the Yogpith temple, down, deep under so many layers of hundreds of years of mud of the Ganges, they found the very deity that Jagannath Mishra had worshipped several hundred years ago. So, archaeological proof that this was in fact the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth and the residence of Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi. Behind the neem tree is this interesting mandir for Lord Shiva. Inside, there's on the one side, the shorter Shiva Linga is Dhameshwara Mahadev, much like in Vrindavan. Lord Shiva is the protector of the Dham, and Vridha Shiv is the form of Lord Shiva that by his mercy one gets admission into the holy Dham. So right at the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, these 2 Shiva Lingas are worshipped by in a Vaishnava mood. Now still in Antardweep, moving along very quickly, is Shiva's Angan. This is the temple or the residential home of Srivas Pandit in our Panchatattva, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas. This is where Srivas lived in the Brahminical area of Navadvip, and it's at this place that for one whole year there was a non-stop kirtan every night. A little description is that they would have kirtan during the day that was so ecstatic that one time Lord Chaitanya said to all the devotees, "Why are we doing this? All day long we have kirtan, then at night we go to sleep. It's just a waste of time going to sleep. Let's just chant all night long." And everyone was so happy, and so they, all night long, they had kirtan at the house of Srivas Thakur. And this is the entering into the temple area. This is the courtyard. It says where he tells you put off shoes. enter into the temple compound. This is the garden area. And here's the deities of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. On the left-hand side, the central altar, is the kirtan. You can see the mridanga in the front is broken. It's not a mistake. It was broken by Chand Kazi himself, the local magistrate. And the central altar here is one evening, rather than just having kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat on the altar of Vishnu. He exhibited a form of Vishnu and brought each of the devotees forward and indicated to them what their spiritual identity was and had wonderful exchange with them. And that discussion takes about 2.5 hours, so we don't have time. It's a wonderful, wonderful leela described in detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat. There again is the Kola Bola Danga, indicating that the place where the kola or the mridanga was broken by Chand Kazi. And when mridanga was broken by Chand Kazi, he ordered them, "You stop this chanting." And he smashed their drum and said, "Now I'm going to spare your life. But if this continues, you are all risking your lives." And everyone was so afraid what would happen if they continued their kirtan. They said to Mahaprabhu, "Let's leave Navadvipa. We can't stop chanting. And if the Chand Kazi is going to be so cruel and so threatening to the Vaishnavas, maybe we should just leave Navadvipa and do our chanting somewhere else." And with that indication, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered, "We will not leave Navadvipa. We will defy Chand Kazi. Tell everybody you see, this afternoon, after lunch, come with torches. We'll have an evening procession all throughout Navadvipa in defiance, civil disobedience, defiance of this so-called order of the so-called Kazi. And we will see if the chanting of the holy name will be checked or not. Stay tuned for visiting Chand Kazi's residence in the next island." Behind, or just a bit down the road from, in the same compound, is Advaita Bhavan, this house where Advaita Acharya would recite Srimad Bhagavatam and Vishwarupa would come. It's also the place where Advaita Acharya called Lord Chaitanya to descend by offering palmfuls and Ganges water and Tulsi buds to his Shalagram Shila, calling out in a loud voice for the personality of Godhead to descend and deliver people of this fallen age of Kali. So on the left side, that's Advaita Bhavan, and on the right side is Gadadhar Bhavan. There's Gadadhar Bhavan, and inside are the deities of Gaur Gadadhar. This is a place where Gadadhar Pandit, again of our Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas. So we've visited so far 4 of the 5 Panchatattva's residences. We're doing pretty good. And Lord Nityananda, we'd have to do this another day because he resided in Ekachakra. But he also, when he was in Navadvipa, he often stayed at the house of Srivas Pandit. Again, here's these nice deities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on our left and Gadadhar on Mahaprabhu's left, or our right. Gaur Gadadhar deities. The next island, pictured in green at the top of that map, is Simantadvipa, where Shravanam, or hearing, is the most important process. So we'll read this little quote. "The chanting of the names in the association of pure devotees is identical with the performance of the amorous service becomes relishable as the transcendental word to the spiritual ear of the soul." Something's wrong with the grammar. There is no way of having such access to the gopis' love for Radha Krishna by hearing about the pastimes of Sri Krishna Chaitanya from realized souls. The name Simantadweep comes from one time Lord Shiva was chanting the name Gauranga. Gauranga! And louder in great ecstasy, and he started dancing and dancing and became like a madman. Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. And Parvati asked him, "My dear husband, what is this Gauranga? I've never heard this Gauranga before." And he described, "This is a form of the Lord who will appear in the age of Kali and bring love of God into all the forsaken people of this age of Kali, this dark age. And it'll be such a beautiful golden form. He'll become known as Gora Anga, of golden complexion." So Parvati requested, "I'd like to go there and see this wonderful form of Gauranga. May I have your permission?" So she came to this place, Simantadweep, and she also underwent austerities and was chanting Gauranga's name, and he appeared before her. She took dust from his feet and placed that dust in the part in her hair. Thus the name Simantadweep. And one of the first places that we access in Simantadweep is the Samadhi of Chankazi. The Samadhi of Chankazi was in the same place, in fact, the town is called Rajapur, meaning the village where the king lived. Prior to the Turkish rule that was prevalent at the time of Mahaprabhu, there was a long dynasty of Balal Sain and the whole Sain dynasty. So the ruins of parts of the palace, you can see right behind. We went and took pictures. Very large area, very clearly. It's not just like an accident, it's the palace. And after the Sain dynasty was overcome by the Turkish invaders, they used the same area, very large area, and that was the palace of Chankazi. So when the Sankirtan party of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went throughout the whole of Navadweep, through all the marketplaces, through all the residential areas, and by the end of the day there were tens of thousands of angry Bengalis going to the house of Chankazi with their torches. I mean, it was literally, they took cloth, rags, and wrapped them on the end of sticks and stuck them in oil so that at night when they would light them, they would burn. It was like a moving sun ray as they entered into the area of Chankazi's house, and they were very angry because he had stopped the chanting and had broken the drum. Chankazi was afraid for his life. He told his guards, "Go out and stop them. Tell them to go away." The guards went out and came back and reported to Chankazi, "They're not going away, and we're afraid of our life, and we're afraid for your life. You better do something, my dear Chankazi." So he hid inside his house. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just shortening this nice long story, he sat right underneath his window and called up, "My dear Chankazi, what kind of etiquette is this? Someone has come to visit you at your home and you don't come to receive them?" So they sent some of the guards of Chankazi to ask him to please kindly come and receive his guest. Chankazi came, received the guest, and said, "Well, I didn't come because everyone is in such a frenzy and I was afraid for my safety. But why should you be in a mood like this? In our village, Jagannath Mishra, your father, was very dear to my father. So practically we're like brothers, or I'm your uncle, and so in family matters you shouldn't hold any hostility to a family member. Very clever talk. So Mahaprabhu said, very well, let us just have some conversation. And they had some interesting conversation about cow killing in the Quran. Very, very interesting subject matter to see how Mahaprabhu discussed that with. Because Chankazi was a learned person. He wasn't just a administrator. He was known to be a very learned person in his scriptures. So Mahaprabhu convinced him that the idea of killing your mother and as the act of taking the life of a cow is not at all a proper religious principle. And whoever wrote that idea in your scriptures was wrong. And Chankazi said, you're right, they were wrong. But what can I do? The scholars who wrote our scriptures, it's in our scriptures. So I just read it and accept it, although I know it's wrong. Then Mahaprabhu said, one other thing, can you tell me? You broke the drum. And when you broke the drum, you said, anyone else who continues this kirtan, you will have them arrested and beaten to the inch of their life. But when we did our sankirtan, you didn't stop. Can you tell me the reason? Chankazi said, I'll tell you privately. Come inside my house. And Mahaprabhu said, everyone here is friends. There's nothing to be private about. Please tell me. Chankazi said, all right. After I broke the drum, that night in my sleep, I had a dream. And the dream, this huge creature, the upper half of his body was a lion, and the lower half of his body was a man. He jumped on my chest, and he was roaring like a lion. And he showed me his teeth and his claws, and he began ripping my body open at my chest and laughing and saying, I will destroy you. You have stopped the Sankirtan chanting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was so fearful. I didn't know what to do. He was so huge and strong and powerful. I was pleading with him, please spare me, please spare me. So he said, all right, this one time I will forgive you, but never again should you stop this chanting. And so for that reason, I didn't stop the chanting. And if you think I'm just telling a story, look, he opened his shirt and he showed the claw marks of Lord Nrisingadev on his chest, and everyone saw. So Mahaprabhu said, this is very nice. You are a very fortunate personality. Now I make this one request of you. Please, never again stop the chanting of the holy name. And Chankazi said, from this day forward, myself and all of my descendants, for as long as there are my sons who are continuing to rule in this area, never will the chanting of the holy name be checked. And so he actually himself joined the chanting party, although he was complaining about it previously by the association of Mahaprabhu. He became influenced by the potency of the pure holy name. This tree that's growing at the samadhi of Chankazi is a very interesting tree. You look closely, I've been there and looked closely, there's one trunk that comes up, and then the tree splits into two. There's a champak tree and there's a neem tree that grow out of the same trunk. And Chankazi, when he was the king, or the Kazi, the magistrate, his nickname was Champak, because his complexion was golden, like a champak flower. So champak tree, and you can see the flowers in season. And also a neem tree growing from the same trunk. Very interesting, very mystical. After that Sankirtan, they had huge Sankirtan right at the house of Chankazi. This is a bas relief of Mahaprabhu having his conversation with Chankazi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the house of Kolavachar Sridhar. You can see in that grove of trees, there's a little shrine. At the time, Kolavachar Sridhar didn't live in a shrine. He lived in a little grass house. But this is a memorial established by the Bhaktivedanta Memorial Trust, commemorating where the house of Kolavachar Sridhar was. Very wonderful personality in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. We didn't go there, but now we're going there by pictures. We spoke about it, but we didn't have time. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kolavachar Sridhar was as poor as you can imagine someone being poor. He lived in a grass house with a grass roof that leaked. So in the rainy season, in West Bengal, the rainy season is intense. It was like not having a roof. Everything just came in through the roof. And his occupation was that he lived in a banana grove area, so he sold banana flowers. He sold banana leaves for plates and then stitched them together to make banana leaf cups. But how much can you get for a banana leaf and a banana leaf cup and a banana flower and bananas when you're in West Bengal and bananas are all over the place? Wasn't much. But every day that he was a Vaishya, so every day he gathered those items and sat by the bank of the Ganges. And every day Mahaprabhu came to have conversation with Kolavachar Sridhar that we'll discuss another time. But when after the Sankirtan, with all the devotees, that's why it's called Vishram Sthana, because they had been chanting all day long, and they came to rest at this very humble place of Kolavachar Sridhar. And Mahaprabhu asked Kolavachar Sridhar for some water, because when a guest comes to your home, you offer them some water. But Kolavachar Sridhar was so poor, he didn't even have any vessel to hold water. All he had was his own personal broken, patched, crumpled, mangled, old iron pot by his door. And Mahaprabhu went and grabbed the pot and started drinking the remnants of Kolavachar Sridhar's water. Kolavachar Sridhar was devastated. He tried to stop Mahaprabhu. He was too strong. He said, "You're destroying me. You come here to my home. For what reason? To destroy me. How can I offer? I have nothing to offer you, and you're drinking from my own vessel. Look at this." Mahaprabhu said in reply, "Just by taking the water from a Vaishnava like you, my life has now been made perfect." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had such affection for Kolavachar Sridhar. This is our last place for visiting this evening. It's very near the Jagannath Mandir, but we'll visit Jagannath Mandir another time. So, hopefully you'll all get a chance to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sridham Mayapur. When you go, there's a department, Dham Sevak, and they'll arrange for you to go and see each of the places and describe them. If you do plan to go ahead of time, you can listen to the descriptions of these places, so you'll be prepared and in the mood and very excited to see the places. Because when the mood of going to a sacred place is very prayerful and reverential and meditative upon the mercy that the place and the Vaishnavas who resided there have to offer and extend to us, then you get the greatest possible spiritual benefit. So this is a short summary of 9 days worth of pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I just came back from and I'm feeling separation from. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Okay. We're at 7 o'clock and it's arti? Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you.